they had everybody stand, and we sang I Surrender All. And so that kind of became my song. I went forward to let everybody know that I had given my life to Christ. So I kind of made a public announcement, you might say, or a public commitment to Jesus Christ. And so that song became very important to me. So we're going to stand. Let's all stand. Come on. And we're going to sing this old hymn, but tremendous meaning. And I want you to listen to the words, especially you fathers, as we sing this song together, okay?
All to Jesus I surrender.
To understand what it means to surrender all. Help us grab a hold of that this morning, Father. Teach us. Let your Holy Spirit come and speak to each and every one of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. That's quite a statement. does it mean to surrender? Said, I surrender all. And the thought is that I do it. So if I'm the one that's surrendering, it's my choice. Can you bring this down a little bit? I feel like I'm in a, I might look like I'm in a barrel, but I feel like that. By the way, on the way over this morning, I felt like Noah. I was driving down the road, and I said, Lois, what is that? And there was raindrops on the windshield. And I remember, some comedian, I think it was, might have been Bill Cosby, but anyway, he was doing a deal on Noah, and God said to Noah, it's going to rain, and he stammered a little bit, and he said, well, what's rain? Because he never hadn't rained before. So I felt like, I don't know why I'm bringing that up, but I just, that just hit me this morning, you know, the fact that it was raining. I surrender all. It's my choice. So whether we surrender all of our life to God or not doesn't depend upon anybody else but us. So if you're not surrendering to God, then it's your choice. You're the one that's doing it. Nobody is holding you back. It's a choice that we make. And then how much is all? What?
Everything.
So if we are to surrender, I surrender all, that means I surrender everything about my life. One of the things that happened in my life at that time was that when I sang that song, it became something really meaningful to me. Now, I, throughout the years, have really worked at surrendering all. Have I been successful 100% of the time? No. There's been numerous times when I've failed at that process of surrendering. But it's always been something that I have worked at. And both Lois and I, we've made a commitment to the Lord. And you know, we were in different places, but again, we made a commitment to the Lord and to each other that we were going to serve God no matter the cost. And really, we have in many ways. Have we succeeded all the time? No. But we've always had that as a desire and a goal, and we've made the effort to choose to surrender our lives to God on a regular daily basis. And so we say, how much is all? It's everything. It's a choice that we do. And who do we submit to? Who do we surrender to? Jesus. That's who we surrender to. Jesus. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. And whose choice is it? Mine. God desires it, but it's my choice. It's your choice. So whether I or you are surrendering to God or not, it's because of our choice. Get that into your minds this morning right now. Nobody else is making you surrender to God. Nobody else is keeping you from surrendering to God. It's your choice. So whether you do or not, you're responsible for that choice. And when you stand before God, that's one of the things that's going to be wide open. Did you choose and live and actually walk out a total surrender to Jesus Christ? Surrender means to cease resistance. See, understand that one of the reasons why we don't surrender is because we're resisting for various reasons. But it's ceasing resistance and it's submitting to. Oh, that's a tough word. Do you know that submission is a tough word? All I got to do is sit down with a husband and wife and say, you know, submit one to another in the fear of God. And cold chills go up and down their spines like, and I see the resistance immediately. How about your children? You know, they start resisting from a very young age. What's one of the first words they say? No. What's another word they say? Mine. See, where'd that come from? Okay? And it's just part of it. So submitting or surrendering is not easy. It's a choice, and I have found that it has to be a choice that I do every single day. It's giving up or handing over, ready for this, our rights. Jesus Christ, it tells us in Philippians 2, that he gave up his divine rights. Now, he never ceased being God, but he gave up his divine rights as God. And he came to earth, and it says there in Philippians 2, that he came to earth and became a servant, and another place it says a slave. A slave doesn't have any rights. Jesus Christ gave up his rights. He surrendered all of himself to God the Father and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did. John 5, verse 19, and then in verse 30, Jesus says this, by myself, I can't do anything. Oh, wait a minute. What do I mean? You're Jesus. You're God, the Son of God. But you see, he gave up that while he was on earth so that he could live a life totally surrendered to God the Father, to the Holy Spirit. Why? As an example to us that we also can do it. It's a choice. It's very simple. It's a choice. You choose whether to serve God or not serve God in every situation of life that you come into. It's your choice. And you are responsible for that. That's, why is it so quiet in here? Trevor, I admire you. You made a choice this morning to do an Irish jig. And I sat back there and I was just going, way to go, Trevor. And he was wanting you men to do it. So I kind of looked back like this and like this here. Some of you men. Now, if I tried to do an Irish jig, they'd have to do CPR on me after they picked me up off the floor or before, whatever, okay? Somebody said the other day, how you doing? I said, well, I'm doing all right. I'm not, you know, I'm alive and I'm kicking. And then I thought, no, kicking, no, I can't do that. I tried that. It's interesting to me when my little dog brings his little rubber ball over and I go to try and kick it. Interesting. Key words in this whole thing of surrender. Listen to this. Abandonment. To let go. To renounce one's power. To submit. To give up. To resign. To relinquish, to relent, concede, yield, accept another way, give over to, commit, give way, forfeit. Wow. That's a lot of surrender. That's a lot of giving up. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, stop right there. How many of you, now this is not a trick question, but I'm going to back us into a corner, okay? How many of you really, really, really want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Some of you haven't raised your hand. Some of you are being truthful. You see, being a follower of Jesus Christ is not easy, people. He says, then Jesus says to the disciples, if any of you want to be a follower, my follower, you must give up your own way. Wow. Wait a minute, God, you mean I can't do it the way I want to do it? Right. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. Got that? If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. You got to give up your life in order for it to be saved. On October the 10th, 1963, 10 o'clock at night, room 402, East Wing Johnson College dorm, I knelt down and I said, Lord, I'm yours. I had to give up my life in order for me to have life in Christ. I had to die to Arvid Moyne. He goes on and he says, and what do you want, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Get this in your heads right now, people. Please, please grab this. Your soul is going to go to heaven or to hell. And if you don't give up your life and all that you want and all those things on this earth, you're going to lose your soul. You're not going to go to heaven. That's being straight. That's being blunt. See, if you gain everything, if you want this and you want this and you want this kind of thing and you grab a hold of this and you think that this is having all this stuff or being whoever and so forth, if you think that's life, you're wrong. Life is in Christ. Jesus said this, I am the truth, I'm the way, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Life is in Jesus Christ. In John, 1 John, it says, if you have life or if you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. So what do you have this morning? Ask yourself the question, do I have life? If I died today, where am I going to spend eternity? If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to be with Him for eternity. That's as straightforward as I know how to say it, and that's what the Word of God teaches. That's what this thing, surrender, is all about. Listen to this, and I want you to grab a hold of this. Surrendering or giving up something that has great value is when we regard something else as having more value and importance. The choice is, what's more valuable to you, having the things of the world, having fame, having recognition, having peace, having all this stuff that we think we get here, or having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Which is most important? If this worldly life is more important, you can have it, but you're not going to have eternal life with God. So if you want that, you got to give up this. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to God, I freely give. Back in 1991, 1992, our daughter was in Ecuador. She graduated from high school and went down to Ecuador and spent a year in Ecuador with Lois's sister and brother-in-law, Al and Sharon Rinaldi, who are missionaries in Quito, Ecuador. And so we went down that year that she was there to visit, and to visit her and then to visit Lois's sister and brother-in-law. And Al was from New Jersey, and he was a hunter. He loved to hunt. And, of course, he and I had a connection there because I loved to hunt. And so one of the things he planned was a hunting trip to the jungle. All right? If I would have known today or then what I know today, I might have said, let's do something else. So we went down to the jungle, and we went down and we parked a truck on this river, alongside this river, and there was the little Quechua pastor was there, and his son, and this big long dugout canoe, a big tree that had been hewed out, you know, and had a little motor on the back of it. And we went down this river. I think it was the Napa River, whatever, but it was this river for a long ways. And we went back up this other river, and we got to his hut, and his hut is, you know, about 6-8 feet off the ground, sitting on post. The reason for that is the river would flood, and the water would come up that high, but also it kept out the crocs and the snakes and all the other stuff. All right? And then when the next day we got up, and we stayed there that night, we got up, and we started up. And we went up, you know, we were down on, by the way, it's called the Amazon River. It's on the equator Ecuador is because it's on the equator, everybody. So anyway, we're going up. And by the way, on the equator, it's like 100 and some degrees in the forest. You stand still and sweat. And so we went up about 1,500 feet. In a matter of 2 or 3 miles, and we got to his son's place, and I was starting to have a heat stroke, and none of the family can believe this, but Al, he got me. There was a hut there, and I stayed with the pastor and his son in this hut, and I couldn't speak any Quechua, and they couldn't speak English. What did Al do? He went hunting. For 3 days. And there I was, drinking all the water that I could drink out of my purifier that could do a half a cup at a time. And I was just, I don't know how many cups I drank, just trying to rehydrate myself. Anyway, so there we are. And Al had told me that when we got on the river, he said, now, that land over there, we're going down the river, and here's the good side, and here's the side, and that's where the Elka Indians lived. And if any of you remember, back in 1956, the Elka Indians massacred 5 missionary men. And we were 12 miles from where that happened. And this was their country. Back when that happened in 56, if you went into their territory, your life expectancy dropped real, real far. Okay? They were called Elka. They were the Watoni, but they were Wakoni. Wait a minute. I'll get it. Anyway, they were called Elka because Elka means fierce, and they were just fierce. 8 out of 10 of their people were killed by their people. That's how fierce they were. They didn't care about the others. They fought against each other. Anyway, 5 missionaries. And they fly in and they land on a beach and it became known as Palm Beach. And they were there umpteen times. They were trying to get a relationship, and some of the natives would come out and they would talk. But one day one of the men lied about something, and it caused them to see that the Americans or those white people were there to get them and so forth. So they came and they massacred them. Got to understand, 5 missionary men, 26 to 32 in age, with families. And they gave their lives. They all had guns, but they had made a choice that they would not take the life of the natives that they were trying to minister to. They surrendered all, and they were trying to stop, trying to say good things, and they speared him. One of the missionaries, Macaulay, made it across the river, and because his brothers were, his missionary buddies were there, and they were dying in the spears, he went back trying to stop the missionary or trying to stop the natives, and he too was speared and killed. They gave their all. Now, the story doesn't end there. Because the wife, Elizabeth Elliot, and a sister, Nate Saint's sister, they went back a couple years later, and they established a relationship with that tribe again. And they went along and with a daughter, and they went and lived there for years and began to lead. And then Steve Saint, Nate Saint's, was one of the men killed. He and his family, they went and lived there for a year. The man who killed Nate Saint's dad, or Nate Saint, Steve Saint's dad, became the adopted grandfather to Steve Saint's children. They led him to Christ, and he became, and the son of the man who lied, which caused the massacre, he became one of the pilots that began flying missionaries into that area. 500 members of this tribe, and most of them became Christians because of the wives and descendants of the 5 men that were massacred. People, that's surrender. That's giving your all. That's the end of the story. And today that group has been one of the top Christian groups in the country of Ecuador. Wow. I, as a 12-year-old boy, saw that in Life magazine. I was drawn to that, not knowing that years later I was going to be hung 10, 12 miles from where it happened. And my daughter would know some of those people, Elizabeth Elliot and so forth, and Steve Saint and all these people, because they were connected with where she taught. It touched my life. Surrender, obeying God's will, even if it costs you your life. 4 things, challenges to this whole thing of surrendering. It says, if any man wants to be my followers, first of all, people, you've got to want to surrender before you can surrender. How much do you want to surrender to God? In Matthew chapter 14, 26, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. The word hate there is, the word hate means to love less. So in other words, our love for Jesus has got to be so great that it would seem as if, in comparison, our love for our wife, for our children, would be a lot less. That's what it's saying. How much do we love Jesus Christ? Do we love him enough to do what he wants us to do? Number 2, it says you must give up your own way. Man, now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. I don't like giving up my own way. But that's what he's asking. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So God doesn't think like we do. He doesn't. His ways or his thoughts are different. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your understanding, but trust God with all your heart. And then in Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a path before each person that seems right, but leads to death. So the other day I was talking with somebody in a counseling session, and he was sharing this here, and I said, well, let me read a scripture for you. And I said, Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not, and he stopped me. He said, that's the problem right there. God doesn't think like I think. He doesn't do things the way that I do. And that's what I want to do. It's my thing. I want to do it my way. And God doesn't think that way. That's the problem. Yes, it is. That's why, people, we need to surrender everything to him. See? Number three, take up your cross. What's a cross a symbol of? What?
Suffering.
You know what? If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to suffer. I came back from Asbury College. I'd given my life to Jesus. And I got back and I met up with my old buddies back here. And I was different. And all of a sudden, my best friend was not my best friend anymore. I was different. I had different thinking than they did. There's a lot of suffering that goes on. There's a bullseye on your back. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And then it lists four different categories of demonic power. And the very last category, their whole purpose is to come against you and I as Christians. Are you going to suffer? Jesus suffered and said, you're going to suffer too. Well, why? Because there's a whole group of demonic powers that their whole purpose is to harass and come against us and fight against us. And so there's always going to be opposition to being a Christian. Then there's opposition from family. There's opposition from religious leaders and so forth. So yes, take up your cross. Whatever that might mean to you particularly in your life. But take it up. Be willing to stand up for Jesus Christ. And the last one, follow me. Follow me. Do it the way I did it. Follow me. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. What do you need to surrender this morning? Some of you sitting here, maybe you need to surrender your life to him as your Lord and Savior. I don't know where all of you are at as far as your relationship with Jesus. So maybe some of you need to say to Jesus, forgive me, come into my life, and be my Lord and Savior. Some of you maybe need to surrender your fears. Perfect love casts out all fear. Where is perfect love? God, the Bible says God is love. Casts out all fear. Maybe we need to get rid of some fears. How about your past hurts? What about blaming that person or carrying around that bitterness and anger and frustration that somebody else caused you? Maybe you need to surrender that to God once and for all so that you can be free. Maybe some of you need to surrender your tongue. Stop being critical, judgmental. Maybe you need to come and surrender your tongue to him and say, Lord, I give it to you. Some of you need to surrender your anger, your frustration, your bitterness. How about your wrong affections? Some of you maybe have got some wrong affections that you need to lay on the foot of the cross. What about your pride and your lust? What about your control? Here's the big one. What about yourself? Maybe if we surrendered ourselves, all of those other things would come along with it. I've asked the Lord this morning to speak to your hearts. In fact, this list of things that I wrote down, I asked the Lord, I said, what are some of the things that the people there at church are dealing with? So I know in my heart this morning that these things right here about surrendering, fears, past hurts, tongue, anger, bitterness, wrong affections, pride, lust, control, and self, I know that they're here, right here this morning. And God is saying to you this morning, are you willing to surrender those things to me? Whose choice is it? Whose choice is it?
Mine.
Yours and mine. I wished I could make the choice for you, but I can't. I have a hard enough time making it for me. I'd like to make it for Lois once in a while. Just try and straighten her out. But only she can make that choice. And you see people, we want to do it. We want to do it for our kids. We wish that some of the kids would make the right choice and do this here. But they can only do it themselves. So there's nobody here this morning when it comes to surrender that's any different than anybody else. It's our choice to surrender. But I want you to grab a hold of this morning. Please, please, please. There's a cost when you surrender. But there's a greater cross, a greater cost if you don't. Surrender. It's a cost that's going to affect you for eternity. So what are you willing to give today? Are you willing to surrender yourself totally to Him? I'd like to have all the fathers stand up. Father's Day. I should be standing too, right? I am on the inside, but not the outside. Fathers, dads, you are the prophet and the priest and the king. In your home. That's not something that I'm saying. That's what the Word of God teaches. It's your responsibility, men, to bring the Word of God to your family. Nobody else can do it for you. It's your job. Not just by what you say, but how you live. You see, talking is more than just words. A lot of people, you can sit back and say, you know what, I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are speaking too loud. Dads, not only talk the Word of God, but live it. Be responsible. You are the prophet in your home. You're also the priest. That means if anybody is going to be praying for your family, if anybody is going to be taking your family to God, it's going to be you. You can't let your wife do it. You can't let the Sunday school teachers do it. It's your job. You're going to be held responsible. I don't know if this is going to happen, but there's a good chance that God might say, well, Dave, what about your family? What have you done for them? How much did you willing to give, Dave, for your kids? And then you're the king, which means you're the protector and the provider, which means you are the gatekeeper of your home. If there is stuff coming into your home that's not good, it's because the gatekeepers are not doing their jobs. This thing of being a father, you know, we think it's just because we've birthed or sired a child. Oh, man, when that child was born and came into the world, your job just became real and real big. What kind of a father are you this morning? Maybe, every one of us as dads here today, including Arvid, need to surrender again and again and again. Every day, surrender your life to God and say, God, let me be the father that you want me to be. Wives, how would you like that? Wives, how would you like that? Say amen.
Amen.
Children, how would you like that, to have a father that represented Jesus every day in your life? You say amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry to be so tough on you guys, but I had to go through this city and home, so I'm just going to let you guys experience it too. Any of you young men that are thinking about becoming fathers, guess what? That happens, you're right in the same box that we are. Dads, I respect every one of you. I honestly do. I think that being a father is one of the greatest opportunities and blessings and privileges that God ever gave us. The name Father comes from the name God the Father. Wow. But that position carries with it some major, major responsibilities. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Wow. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for each man here this morning who's a father or a grandfather. I pray, Father, that you help us. Help us, Father, to surrender each and every day to you. To surrender our thoughts and our ways to you, because they're so different than yours, Father. Help us to surrender ourselves so that we don't lean upon our own understanding, but in everything acknowledge you and give way to you. Help us, Father, to yield our rights and our ways to you. Help us, Father, to surrender our children and our wives to you. To surrender, Father, the very existence that we have to you. I surrender all. Let that become, Father, a cry within the hearts of these men. Father, I surrender my life to you today. And maybe some of us, Father, are going to have to do it 3 or 4 times in a day, but help us, Father, to surrender, and yield our lives to you so that you, Father, can work through us the glorious privilege of being a father. Thank you, Father.